Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
It's just I'm trying to get this film made, but no one's interested.
Why not?
Well, because I'm making plenty out of sweet corn. I mean, there's not much comfort these days.
Yeah, you're right. I remember when, you know, sweet corn used to be a staple of every meal, but now people don't have it that so much. What you need to do is get in touch with her film project. They help people from sort of different, not mainstream backgrounds get into film and stuff.
We haven't explained that very well, have you?
No, I haven't. Just go to herfilmproject.com or follow them at herfilmproject and you'll get a better idea of how you can get help too.
Oh, thanks. Can I just say one more thing?
No, you can't. I'm going to the podcast. See you later, mate. Bye. Hello, listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Film Fandango, where we've taken two of the greatest film critics and killed them and replaced them with two twats. I'm one of them.
I'm the other.
My name is Marek Larwood and the guest today is Josh Howie.
Josh Howie.
I've just called you, Josh, I've introduced you as a twat.
Yeah, well that's because I'm sure any regular listeners will know that already.
Okay, fine. For people expecting David Reed to be on the podcast.
He wasn't twatty enough.
Well, no, he's having a baby.
Classic twat manoeuvre.
So he selfishly decided being a father is more important than talking to strangers about films.
Disgusting. I'm having a baby.
When's your baby due?
2 weeks. I don't give a shit. This is my priority, mate. Be a guest on your show.
Over being a father. And you said this is going to be your fifth child, Josh.
Yeah, so I don't care anymore. You've got to get on with life, you know.
They can start, by the time you've had five, the oldest one should be able to start raising the youngest
one. That's the plan. And paying the mortgage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old's your oldest?
8. So that's nearly, he's nearly there. Actually, you know what? He had an audition for a Spielberg movie.
I really had this, and
it's not like I'm one of those pushy. We never planned this.
Did Steven Spielberg just see him in the soft play?
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, what happened was he's doing a movie about Jews, as you do, and Molly, my eldest, goes to a Jewish school. So they sent out casting agents to all the Jewish schools, and they needed this for the lead actor for this like 7-year-old kid. And
Maudie, why does he have to be Jewish? You have to have the ringlets.
No, just because he just needed to look Jewish, you know. But Maudie looks.
You can have other kids that don't look Jewish. Why do you have to have Jewish kids?
But the character's Jewish, so look. Okay, they could do a.
Okay, right. So they could do a
sort of version as list on him and get what's his name to Jew up.
So Steven Spielberg's mate goes to your kid's school.
No, nothing like that. They went to all the Jewish schools. Did their, you know, said, hey, you got any good-looking Jews? And because of my wife not being biologically Jewish, he happens to be a good-looking Jew. And so we got down. Anyway, point is, we got down to the final six.
Wow.
From that. And yeah, so it's great.
Did you have to practice the line?
I had to practice the line with him. He was a proper shit actor. But he looked good. I was like, you're fucking shit, mate. Emote.
Is that what you said to him?
I know, I was like, look, you've got to do it better. You've got to, like, enunciate. I
bet you were thinking this could just pay. This could pay for all.
I was like, we're moving to America. I was like, I'm going to be best friends with Spielberg.
Can you talk about it? Did you have to sign a non-disclosure?
I didn't have to sign anything. Didn't get it. So, yeah, down to the final six, I was ready, packing my bags. See you later, UK. And then they went with an American kid.
What a stupid little prick.
I'll tell you what's funny though. I've never, because look, I genuinely have never pushed them in that direction, where, even though that's what we do, but that's not what I've sort of wanted for them.
What would you like them to do?
Make me money in any way possible. No, I don't want them to be like lawyers and stuff. I wouldn't mind if he wants to be a comic or a writer or a clarinetist or whatever. Just something that he really is passionate about and is willing to not make any money at, like me.
That would be really, that'd be the really worried the whole time. Josh, for you, those you don't know, Josh Howie's a wonderful comic. He did a great radio series out last year, and you can find out about him. Is it, have you got joshhowie.com?
I do have joshhowie.com. There's no one else wanted it.
Follow him at Josh Howie.
Yeah, whatever.
I thought I'd say those.
Yeah, get them out of the way straight away. I like it.
Because I thought people probably stop listening.
Yeah, just, yeah, they will.
So you want to get your plug in early. Yeah. Is it Josh X Howie?
Josh X Howie.
Why X?
Because my middle name's Xavier.
There wasn't another Josh Howie?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, look, finishing this amazing story.
Yeah.
Didn't get the part, but when we went for this audition, I'd never been in that world, like, you know, pushy parents and stuff. So it was really funny, like, as we were waiting for the audition with the other parents, and they were, like, real dicks, the parents, and sort of a little asshole, yeah. 7-year-old, came out of the audition in front of us and was like, so, I'm really disappointed. I really thought I was going to meet Stephen.
Wow.
Yeah, and like, and it was right then BFG was coming out, like, it was the premiere. And he's like, well, I was just hoping to ask him if he'd get me tickets for the BFG premiere. And whatever, and they're like, oh, we'll see what we can do. And he was like, okay, well, I'm really disappointed. I really was hoping to, you know.
And did that put Morty off the whole thing? Did he enjoy it?
No, but I made a point of saying, do you see that kid? Don't be like that kid. Don't be a dick, basically. And but we didn't get it. But I said, you know, well, look, keep him on file and whatever. And I just got an email yesterday from BBC are doing Les Miserables or something. And they want to see him.
Jean Valjean.
They want to see him for some kid. I don't know. So we're going to go in on Thursday to audition.
So the kid gets killed. Who's the little annoying kid that gets killed?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the little annoying kid, maybe. Hopefully. Anyway, so...
mate, you're going to make enough money out of it.
BBC.
You're going to make you well rich. I've got to
decide if I'm going to give him this money or not. Like, what is
the protocol on if your kid, like...
Yeah, I think you're meant to steal it all.
But do they... Does the money go straight to the parents?
I think it goes to the parents. That's why don't you get all those kids suing their parents when they get older and stuff? I'm taking that money, man.
Will you take all of it?
No, I'll leave them like a tenner.
So say like 50 grand for Jean Valjean.
For the BBC for his four lines?
Yeah.
Okay, say 50 grand. All right. I would... that's a tricky one, 50 grand. What do you think? What are you thinking? You've been my business advisor.
Well, I think he should have half in the trust fund.
Okay, yeah.
And half for growing up expenses, because that way, later on, he can't sue you for it. Cause you could say that was the cost of cost to help him raise him, but you just spend it on the other kids and get some comic.
50 grand is what we need to do the loft. So I might be like, so I'll be like, here's your bedroom.
That's a really good idea.
That'd be the way. And then we get a loft, and then we get the value of our property. Like, we get the extra
bit. Then he could, when you sell the house, he would say that is...
I'd give him that.
When you become estranged from him, he goes, when he starts taking drugs and stuff like that, and does the...
I don't see him doing that, but yeah, there could be a problem there. No, I did a lot of modelling, as you know, when I was a child, because my parents did like PR for like all these products. So I did, I was like the Rally Vector kid, you remember the computerised bike? I did that. I was the nylon pens kid. So I did a lot of this stuff.
Who took that money?
Yeah, I didn't get a penny.
Really?
Yeah, I never got a penny. But I did go to like public school and stuff, but then my parents were rich anyway.
Yeah.
But they never like put it aside or any shit like that. So
it's the fascinating world. Well, that's a whole new, look at your whole show on this. But we did go to cinema.
Yes, we went to cinema today. Thank you for that.
And you wanted to go and watch Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah, I did.
Which I had watched the previous day.
And was that a lot better? I bet it was.
Well, we went to see The Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh my god.
With Academy Award winner Kenneth Branagh. I think that just sums up the credits, the fact that it says he lists himself top and says Academy Award winner.
But then all the others, there's lots of other Academy Award winners, weren't there?
So what, can you tell us briefly about, I mean, people must know this story.
Yeah.
What happened?
A person gets murdered and he's Hercule Poirot.
He's
and he's got to solve the crime, basically, on this train.
It's a really it's been done. Ugh, it's Agatha Christie's
a thousand billion times
most famous one, and it was 1974 supposed to be one of the best adaptations, where Albert Finney played Hercule Poirot, and Lauren Bacall's in it. I think Ingmar Bergman won an Oscar for her role in it. And it's that was sort of the golden definitive era.
Yeah, and I think it would work a lot better at, because it needs to be set in that era, because at least, even though it's 74, it would feel dated now. And it needs to feel dated because it is, even though it's set in the sort of 30s.
The whole idea is dated.
Yeah, it's just, and also, I mean, look, there's so many problems here.
Let's go through them. I mean, my biggest number one problem is
erectile dysfunction.
Yes. My second problem is Kenneth Branagh.
Oh my god,
I can't stand him. He always plays the lead roles for parts he shouldn't be playing, and you can tell. I thought, I didn't know he directed it, but at the end, you think, oh, halfway through, you think, well, clearly he directed this. He was just literally,
there's too many shots of his beautiful eyes, his beautiful blue eyes, his
dickhead moustache. Oh. It's an awful vanity project.
Well, this is the thing: is it's worse than that, because it's a vanity project about a character who is super vain anyway. So Poirot is like just this kind of vain dickhead anyway, whether he's a genius or not. But the point is, he is this vain dickhead. And you've got this vain dickhead playing a vain dickhead.
Yeah, so it's not, like squared. Not someone,
It's just too much.
He's multiplied.
It's multiplied. It's ridiculous. It's a bad film, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. I haven't seen a bad, I guess because having so many children, you really have to pick what films you're going to go out and see.
Well, it costs you about £1 million, doesn't it? Yeah. Each time you go to the cinema.
Yeah, exactly. So, but even if, what I mean is like, if we're going to have a date night or something, it's like, you want to make sure it's going to be like a Blade Runner-y, like a good movie. And this was just dross. It was, I mean, it was beautifully shot. That's the best thing I could say about it.
I think the costumes were brilliant. It looked amazing. So that's what I thought several times. I thought all this work has gone into these shots.
All this money, all this talent, great actors, and it was just bad, man. It was
really bad performances. I thought the days from Star Wars was awful.
Yeah,
and the worst.
Yeah, Keira Knightley impression.
The worst was, I mean, even his moustache is just
was silly. It was like three moustaches and one moustache.
Yeah,
but there were loads of like plot holes, inconsistency. Like it didn't feel clean as a movie. Like, in terms of, even though the plot is a bit messy and you have to bring all these elements together, it just felt like even that part of it was bad.
There's always a problem, isn't there, when you've got loads of A-list celebrities playing characters. You have to try and give them their moment in the sun.
Yeah.
And all this is just someone talking to you on a train.
Yeah, really. I would say the only reason to see this movie is to see Michelle Pfeiffer being old.
You could have seen her do that in Mother.
I think I didn't see Mother. She was in Mother. Oh, yeah, of course, I didn't get to see Mother, yeah. So she was old. She looked old in Mother, did she?
I thought in this one, I thought that in some, compared to what she looked like in Mother, I wondered whether they'd actually done some sort of CGI on her face.
Oh, really? Well, just plastic surgery, surely. I mean,
well, no, because in Mother, she looked
She looked wrinkly, did she?
More, she looked older in Mother, which must have been, you know, she filmed about 6 months later. And I thought, when there was a close-up on her, I thought, that's amazing.
You think they've done that weird thing with the effects afterwards?
I think there's a close-up on her, and I thought, this looks like
suspiciously digital.
If I'm thinking about it, then it probably has happened.
Maybe it has, yeah. It's a bit unnerving, isn't it? Seeing her, because it's like inside of her. You know what she was? It was like watching that terrible Princess Leia thing in Rogue One, like the fake Princess Leia. Like, it was like watching that, but like with a real actor. So it was
Think she looked that bad.
No, but she didn't look human, really.
Yeah,
but she didn't look normal. She didn't look like a normal older person. She looked like there was this like younger digital effect person inside of an old person. It was I thought it was bizarre.
That's what happens. That's how we turn into robots.
Yeah.
And what other problems did you have with the film, Josh?
I mean, surely that's just enough, isn't it? The sound already, isn't that just Kenneth Branagh? Just the never-ending shots of his moustache. I did have historical problems with the movie starts in Jerusalem by the Wailing Wall, and at that time, the Wailing Wall was not like
1934, isn't it?
Yeah. 1934. There wasn't a big plaza there at the Wailing Wall. It's just something I happen to know. And obviously, they put in a plaza because they wanted to film there ridiculously. I don't know why. I didn't really say add anything.
Yeah, to I don't know why they filmed the Wailing Wall.
Yeah, and the whole and then he sort of then jams his stick into the Wailing Wall, which is very disrespectful to my people. That's the holiest place.
Yes,
in the,
I mean you would never dream of literally ramming your walking stick into one of the religious symbols of. One of the biggest religious symbols of...
There was certainly the holiest place in Judaism. So that was weird. And then just the fact that there wasn't a big plaza there. It was actually... That wall at that time was just like an alleyway. It was only when Jews got Jerusalem in, 67 that they then just blew everything up and made the big plaza.
But this Kenneth Branagh hatred I've got, which every time I see him in something, he always plays the lead of... Of huge, like Hamlet, he's always he never takes the piss out of himself.
Yeah, well, he doesn't seem like he's someone who has a sense of humour.
But he casts himself in these huge roles, and that he directs. And I just think, is it just me who thinks he's a knob? I mean, he's a penis.
He's got to be a bit of a knob, surely.
But even in this scene, you think, you've given yourself the best part. You're in far too many... The other characters haven't got time to breathe because it's all about Poirot.
Yeah.
And he's with an all
stupid egg fetish.
Yeah, and you've wasted... A bit like Judi Dench there. The Spanish lady?
Yeah, Penelope Cruz and...
Penelope Cruz, who that's the same part Ingmar Bergman won the Oscar for. She's got about three lines.
Yeah. It's bizarre. It was like utterly unnecessary. And if you're going to do something like that and take something that was... basically not broken or very good.
Yeah.
Do something new. And then, of course, I mean, there's problems anyway that everybody knows the ending now. It's just, that's part of popular culture, isn't it? If you don't know the ending, then you at least bring us to the ending in a new, fresh way or something. It was, for a second, I thought, maybe this is like a piss take. Like a Clue movie, you know what I mean? Like, maybe this is hamming up.
It wasn't funny, though, wasn't.
Well, yeah, but it was. But it wasn't. It was just bad. But I thought for a second, maybe this is like heightened and sort of the ridiculousness is deliberate. But I don't think
it was. Things where they shot scenes just purely looking down the characters, vertically looking down.
Yeah, just for effect, just to sort of feel like he was doing something original, different. But obviously they had their train and I'm sure they built it and then they just shot in, like they did Das Boot or something. They just shot all around it. But it was
a bit boring, isn't it?
I'd nearly fallen asleep like twice. If you hadn't gone for a wee, I would have fallen asleep.
I nearly fell asleep. That's why I went for a wee.
That's why you did
go for a wee.
Otherwise, Josh just wouldn't fall asleep.
Yeah, and then I came back to watch Josh up and he went, nothing.
Yeah, you were gone for an hour. Okay, nothing.
I give it 4 Marics because I think that the costume and the cinematography were great. How many Joshes did you give it?
2 Joshes.
Wow.
A Josh each for those 2 things.
I mean, 4 is...
It's bad,
The
man.
Killing of the Sacred Deer is a far more interesting film, which I give 7 or 8 Marics, which is a really
dark, weird... I wish I'd
seen
that, man.
Weird...
If only you'd waited for me, I would love to have seen that.
Yeah.
And you've already talked about Thor in a previous episode.
Yeah, we did Thor last week.
Oh, man.
But if you have to go and see any of these films, go and see Killing of the Sacred Deer, 1. Then if you like Thor, I don't know, 2.
Yeah.
And then don't go and see
it. I think if anything, the service that we are being providing today is to say... just don't see it. And if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend who's like has read the one random good review of this and like, no, I like Kenneth Branagh or whatever, then hopefully fight your corner and just be like, look, it's proper crap. Okay? And it's not... And I like a good crap movie sometimes, the right kind of crap movie, and there can be redeemable elements to it. But this is just... It's more worse than crap. It's pointless. There's nothing you can take away. Johnny Depp...
Johnny Depp's probably the best thing in it.
Really? I thought Johnny Depp's coat was the best thing in it. That was a great coat.
His coat... I mean, the costume was great.
But I don't know how Johnny Depp is picking his movies. When was the last good movie he made? Just everything I've seen him for like the last 5-6 years seems really bad.
Sleepy Hollow.
Really, that was the last... That was 20 years ago.
I've not seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I've seen bits of it.
Yeah, that's a great movie. No, but I'm talking like the last 10 years or something. It's just...
No, he's just done those pirate ones, isn't he?
Yeah. Plus things like Mortarhigh or whatever, which was the worst movie.
Well, just don't go and see it. Anyway,
let's move on to positive things.
To this. Some people are is from Lee Wood. I can't remember if I read this out last week or not. So, you know, that's going to be one of the problems, me reading out letters over and over again.
But then Lee will have another reason to listen in.
Yeah. The subject is, sorry to see David go. Dear David, Marek and Buddy and all the other cast members, Sirens and Arsehole Dogs, they've all gone. I've been listening since the absolute days and I was sorry, really sorry to hear that David will be leaving the show. One of the main reasons I love the show is the rapport that you both have with each other. I now miss that banter that you have with each other. I suppose having a child is fair enough reason to leave, so I allow it. However, I feel it's unfair on Buddy and the regular background cast be dropped just because you're having a baby. Surely you should take their feelings into consideration. Anyway, thank you for all the 5 years of podcast. On Monday into work won't be quite the same. No pressure, Marek. I expect the same quality output going forward. Well, sorry to let you down, Lee. Anyway, my questions are, what is David's all-time favourite top five films? He's not here, so I can't answer that one. And worst five. I can't answer either of those. And then...
how do you not remember reading this letter last week?
I don't think I did. I've been watching the Lethal Weapon TV series and been enjoying as my expectations were really low. However, the two leads' chemistry is really charming and I was rather surprised. Do you think that the other movies, TV shows that will happen... I mean, he's written this badly. This is not me reading it badly.
Not your inability to read.
That movie TV should be any good or should stay at films? Good luck with blah, blah, blah. What movies TV things do you think would be good, Josh?
Movies into TV series. Well, we've obviously got the X-Men thing going on at the moment. There's a fair few there. And there's a lot of those Marvel things that were...
I think they shouldn't be films because they're just so interlinked. There's so many references to the old films. You just think, I want to see if the whole point of going to see a film
is a self-contained story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you don't have to go, oh, who's that character?
Although saying that, I wouldn't, well, it's not that I would want to necessarily see a TV series, but to see a sequel to Unbreakable, I'd accept it if it came out in a TV series type situation.
Okay.
Like that world, like that kind of, I still feel like that world wasn't explored in some ways. I mean, now you've got Snatch just started. Which sounds ridiculous. I mean, why are you taking a mediocre movie to make a very bad TV series, I imagine?
I watched Death of Stalin a couple of weeks ago, and I said to Lizzie, that would be as good as a TV.
Really?
I just thought you could go into it a lot more. There's so much happening there.
Okay, but surely there's going to be a finite... I mean, how would they keep that going from year to year?
No, it'd be one. I think they should not try and... They should do... 8-part shows and Fargo is a fantastic. Huge success.
Yeah, yeah. So longer form storytelling. Well, that's like an 8-hour movie,
yeah,
isn't it? So that's
they're brilliant, and you don't have any of that hangovers and explanation, and you know the story's going to finish, and you can think, I can trust this.
Another good example, I think, is like Show Me a Hero.
I've not seen that.
It's like David Simon obviously did The Wire, and that's a great. That's 8 parts, HBO, amazing. Production, amazing, you know, it's just a long form story. And I think, I think that, and more so, and I know we're certainly not going to be the first people to say things like this, but having that stuff, those original stories on television, it's better suited.
I think we are the first people to ever say it.
Really? I think this is the golden age of television almost.
A lot of the time, this podcast is we're the first people to.
to say that TV is better in a lot of cases, yeah. It's rare for an 8-hour perfect bit of television to surpass a 2-hour story nowadays, sometimes. I mean, it has to be a pretty amazing 2 hours to surpass, like...
Oh, you were saying, I don't know.
Like, what was the last film that... I mean, I guess, like you said, I haven't seen Killing of the Deer, whatever. Would that... You think that surpasses something like The Wire?
No, because you can go more in depth with it. But things... I still think my greatest... Televisual experiences have been films and not TV series.
Okay, yeah. What about The Matrix or something as a TV series?
I don't know. I'm bored of this question.
All right.
Lee. Here's another letter. She's from super fan Chris Webb.
Is he a super fan? How do you know he's a super fan?
He got voted the number one super fan in a. I mean, I know you might not listen every week, but. Last year, there was a real...
there was a big buzz about it. And how do you get voted to be a superfan?
It was on Facebook between Chris Webb and Martin Appleyard. And suggestions that Martin Appleyard had fixed it when he saw it into the lead. Chris Webb came back and became...
The champion. Yeah. And this was voted by the other listeners?
Well, Facebook, so it was completely legitimate.
Yeah, okay, that's pretty cool. And what did they win? Just the title?
Pride.
Yeah, self-respect. Absolutely.
I mean, you can't put a price on self-respect.
No, of course not. Well, I wouldn't know. I don't have any, but yeah.
Here we go. I'm going to read the letter. Dear Marek, David and Buddy and Assorted Camden Noises, the truth is I don't have any film questions or topics of discussion, but I couldn't let this week pass without waving a tearful farewell to David. Well, this is already 2 weeks late, so... I'm wishing you and Danielle all the very best for your exciting new arrival.
Is it Danielle Ward?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they had a baby. I didn't know that she had a boyfriend.
Yeah, they've been going out for about 7 years or so.
Okay, that's probably the last time I saw her.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Danielle.
It was you. It was seeing you that made her think, oh, I better
go off with it.
Josh is married, so I better get someone.
Better get on it.
Yeah. Because all these guys are going to get snapped up.
Yeah. That's cool.
He continues, I would give you some paternal advice, but my daughter's a complete psychopath, so I don't know. So what do I know? I've been a faithful Fandangalier, that's the name.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah.
Since episode 1 in October 2011, and I haven't missed a single one. This will, of course, continue when we have Marek's reinvented Fandango version 3.0 next week. We're 3 weeks into it now.
3.0.
Cool. So thank you, Dave, for the last 6 years. Hope you occasionally pop back in to say hello to everyone. Keep watching the films. Keep letting your baby watch the films, but maybe not letting her watch the chest burst scene from Alien, as she's 7 and she may get a bit frightened. Lots of love, Chris. Also, Chris has got his own podcast.
Oh, wow, look at this. Cross-pollination.
Yeah.
Cross-podication. Sorry.
And it's called Still Any Good. And so you should check out Chris Webb's Still Any Good.
And is it what, films that, like, looking at older films?
Yeah, he goes, what he does, bloody, goes back and he watches films that he liked when he was young and he thinks, oh, me, is this still any good?
What, Predator and things like that?
Yeah, he's done things like Highlander, Fright Night.
Those are all great still.
Yeah.
They all stand up, I think.
Krull.
Krull? I'm not sure about that.
Well, yeah, have a listen.
So are you going to do, like, sort of Have I Got News For You roving guest type thing?
Yeah, you're the third one, Josh.
The third one?
Yeah.
But who did you get for the first two?
Lizzie Roper, Simon Fielder.
Wow.
You didn't even listen to the bloody podcast, mate.
What? So Simon Fielder does?
Yeah, probably.
Well, his one.
Well, I don't know. Well, one more letter.
I didn't know that you were friends with Lizzie.
Yeah, she lives down the road, didn't she?
I never see her. I bumped into her once at Wood Green.
This is not podcast material. This is us talking.
Okay, I'm sorry. But like, can I just say something? I bumped into her at Wood Green Shopping Centre and she was like doing public massages. And I was like, things going really badly.
She was like, it was for a prank show, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. But I was like, I felt really sorry for her. And then she's like, oh, no, I'm being filmed. I thought, oh, this is...
That was a long time ago, wasn't it?
It was long. That's the last time I saw her. Hey, Lizzie, if she's listening. Do you think she's listening to see what her competition is?
Yeah.
Okay, who else you got coming up? Do you only have three friends?
It's Spielberg.
I'll see if I can get that role.
I'm starting going into the big directors.
Yeah.
Listen, we need to get...
Go, letters, go.
This is from Darren Rogers. I miss you already. He basically says congratulations to David and all that nice, being nice. So I've already said that already. It's not going to read that again. Anyway, Marek, would you like to have kids or does your hatred of other human beings put you off? Mm. I mean, I could afford to have kids, unfortunately.
What would you, if you could?
No, I wouldn't like to have kids.
Okay, there you go. That's probably the most honest, open thing you've said in our 15 years of friendship.
Yeah. Anyway, I suppose I had something film-related. This is back to Darren. Okay. Watched Nina Forever on Film 4 recently. Bonkers film about a girl that comes back as a zombie to fuck up her former boyfriend's love life. Not sure if it was supposed to be a comedy, but I laughed loads. It was one of the weirdest films I've seen in ages. Recommended? Not sure. 6 Darrens. Have you seen Nina Forever?
Nope.
I think it's an English film.
Might have to check it out now.
Yeah, have a look at that. Well, thank you, Darren. That'll be enough of that.
That's good. That's amazing. You've got people writing in. They're like proper letters, actual communication. This is lovely.
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
It's nice.
Okay, let's go to this section. We're going to find out about the guests, what things they like and other bits. We ask them questions about films. Here are the questions coming up. Okay, Josh. I mean, our listeners... we'll be listening to this podcast thinking, oh, I just want to know more about this man. His voice is so fulsome. And laced with such knowledge.
What?
Well,
I used to do the movie geek. I was the movie geek on Sky Movies until they cut budgets. But I did that for quite a few years. And before that, I did another film show on a channel, Universal Channel, that no one got. But film has always been my main passion before I got into stand up.
You're the unknown Jonathan Ross.
That's my dream. That's still my dream to be
the But you're more into stand-up now than film, aren't you?
Well, but I always kind of got into stand-up because I wanted to then go and make films.
Why don't you make a film, then?
Okay, I'll see you next week with my film. I did a couple of shorts and stuff, and you know what stand-up's like. It's like you're getting all that training to go and write a script, and you're learning how to act and all that stuff. Yeah, my plan is still, I'd still love to make a feature one day. Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I look forward to that, yeah. So the question we've been asking everyone, Josh, first of all, could you get... Originally it was people's top five films, but just quickly list five films that you are that close to you that may... that are good for our listeners to watch.
Okay, fine. And can I just... I'd like to apologise to anybody who listened to an episode that I was on about 4 years ago where I recommended Ride with the Devil. Like,
we watched it.
Yeah, we watched it and I felt bad... there's a lot of pressure to do these like
wasn't
this.
It was quite a good movie,
but it's like, look, you want to, when you're into film and that's your passion, you kind of want to do like, hey, watch Five Easy Pieces or Harold and Maude, and they're like the obvious kind of
indie movies to watch or
to recommend anyway, to sound like you know what you're talking about. So I thought, well, why don't I sort of recommend this movie that I think has been a bit overlooked, and I like Ang Lee and stuff.
We've lost all the distance, it's fine, don't worry.
It's alright. Well, my point is, I feel slightly bad because that is not a movie that would anyway define me. I thought it was like quite a good movie that I think was overlooked, but I felt like if I had that one
chance.
Okay, number one, Annie Hall. There we go, boom. That's going to be number one. That film defined me. When I first got together with my now wife, I took her along to, like, they had like a reprint of it. And I basically said, this film defines me. If you don't think it's great...
She still thinks it's shit.
Yeah, well, so she sat there. I was like, if you don't think it's funny, there's no point in us being together. And she just sat there through the whole film, fake laughed, like, just... And then she's like, yeah, that was great. And then years later, she's like, yeah, I didn't really get it. I love that film. I sort of mimicked lots of it into my personality. I remember watching that as a sort of 16-year-old and sort of going, right, this is who I'm going to be as an adult.
A sex offender.
Yeah, and I'm on my way.
Next one,
I would say Blues Brothers. Watched that film over and over again on video, had it on VHS from some recording on TV, and just watching it every Saturday. There's a few films that we watched every year, every week. We just wake up Saturday morning, put on Blues Brothers, and I can...
I've only seen it a couple of times. Yeah. Next one.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, so good.
Such a good film. I interviewed, I did this like hour interview with Michael Caine, and obviously I've seen all of his movies, but that was like,
it's so joyful.
It's so fun. And he said that when he's doing the whipping his legs, Martin's legs, he said that he improvised the third. So if you watch it, and I went over and I watched it that night, and you could see him like smiling, like laughing because he's cracking himself up. Yeah, Emil Stefansson. The fan! You can see him like laughing to himself as he does it.
It's so joyful. It's brilliant. And it's perfect. They're remaking it.
I know. Well, that could
work. I went
work
for casting for that.
Oh, really? As with women, right?
Yeah, but I went for and didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean,
Chris Harrison's directing it.
Okay. Look, that could absolutely work. I don't think there's an issue in terms of it possibly not being funny. I mean, Ghostbusters was just not a good movie. It wasn't because there were women in it. It just wasn't a good movie.
It's the chemistry between...
Yeah, if they get the right thing. I mean, it's... The thing is, what made the first one was that it played against, it was male gigolos, and that it sort of went against type. Mm. So, but now it's sort of with that slightly weird. So what? It's going to be about female prostitutes?
Well, we'll have to wait.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge it, and I'm sure it could be probably funny. But again, I hope it's just not a pointless remake, like Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, but they're both so, you can't. I can't see anyone.
Yeah, why? I mean, Steve Martin, Rupert. Yeah, that's the best, and that chemistry, the two of them together.
And Michael Caine, he's a perfect straight.
Yeah, perfect. great comedy actor in that for that, playing it straight and everything. Yeah, so that's number three. Godfather, maybe. I mean, we're just getting a bit cliché, you know.
Well, I think the top ten. I think Shawshank Redemption is an amazing film.
Yeah,
but both Simon, we did the IMDb numbers last week.
Yeah.
Simon Fielder and Lizzie Roper, they haven't seen The Godfather or Godfather 2.
See, that shit is just fucked up. That's like, what the fuck are they doing? Are they on a fucking podcast about film?
Wait,
well, that should be the first question you want.
Calm down.
No, I'm not going to calm down. That's bullshit. No.
come on. Is this how you behave to your kids when they...
Well, yeah,
what
they
do
got.
Mean you haven't seen What do you mean you haven't seen fucking Peppa Pig?
Actually, I had to show them. I wanted to show them. My wife wanted to show them Ace Ventura, but we couldn't find. Netflix only has got number two.
So it's awful.
God, was. But they thought it was funny because they're idiots. I was like, you know, the first one's not a bad movie. Anyway, but the point is, how could you not see Godfather?
Anyway, that's you've got, what did you say? The Godfather. Yeah,
I mean, that's like...
But you pick The Godfather rather than Godfather 2.
Yeah.
Because you have to watch The Godfather to preach The Godfather
exactly,
2.
Yeah,
exactly, if you watch Godfather 2, you wouldn't be...
It's like Judaism and Christianity. You need Judaism.
I think they're a different point. Okay, number five.
So movie that would, like, define you...
One more, just, I mean,
you know what, I'm just going to say it. I don't give a shit. Like, there are movies like things like Star Wars and whatever, they're part of who I am. But in recent years, the film I probably watched the most is Taken.
Oh, really?
I just can't stop watching that film.
Why?
It's great, like, filmmaking and action, and you rock up and you're drunk at 1 a.m. and it's on. It's just on all the time. And as soon as it's on...
It's pretty weird that Liam Neeson's become...
Well, now he's stopped doing any of those. He stopped.
We did this sort of spate of being.
Yeah, he had his 10 years, and he said now he's just too old, and it's ridiculous. But that movie that kickstarted it all, he's a great action star, and it's just got like badass scene after badass scene.
I think
scene.
He's a great actor.
Yeah,
That's what makes him.
But that's a well directed movie for what that sort of movie is. I'm not saying it's the best movie ever made. I'm just saying it's a film I have watched over and over again because every time it's on. I mean, obviously, there's going to be, you know, Goodfellas and things like that are the same sort of thing. If it's on, that's the next 2 hours of my life gone. But for some reason, that's my guilty pleasure, Taken.
Good. Interesting choices. Okay. I'm going to skip the filming, who would you go and watch the film with question, because
why?
Because it's
I had a good answer.
Who are you going to say?
I was going to say Kevin Spacey.
That'd be fun. American, what would you go and watch him?
I'd go and like say, did you touch his cock? did you feel that? Yeah, but like... get some evidence on him to use against him in a court of law.
Because he, in LA Confidential, he actually sets up, he plays a detective.
Oh, yeah.
Who actually sets up the guy with the press.
Yeah.
So that's fascinating.
That's a great movie, LA Confidential.
Yeah. Okay, and your IMDb number, which, as regular listeners know, you get by going through the IMDb top 250 films, and the first one you haven't seen is your IMDb number. What's yours?
It was 57.
Which was
I'd never even heard it before. What was it?
It's Grave of the Fireflies.
Grave of the Fireflies. I'm very disappointed. I really thought I would get into the hundreds easy.
It's because there's always new films come in there.
Okay.
And they get over, just through. There's a few anime ones. So Princess Mononoke, I've not seen.
I've seen that one.
And we watched Grave of the Fireflies before, I think. And we both thought it was pretty shit.
Okay. It's because when I was about 10, 15 years ago, before family and whatever, I was watching about 4 films a day. This is like even video shop time. I had a video shop next to me. I was mates with the people in the video shop, and it was like an art house video shop as well. And I would go in there, and they would just let me take 4 films out, watch them through the day.
Just get them out. Just give them the films.
Just give them. Get them out of here.
Get out of here.
So it doesn't have to hang out and be like all wanky.
Get out of. Just shut up and take the films, Josh.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. And so I went through. At the time, I think I had like a book of, you know, the top 500 movies. So I'm pretty much, and I was meticulous in my list, and I crossed things off and had little notes and stuff about everything. But yeah, like you say, there's a few things that have just come in over the last few years that I just, they've passed me by.
It's amazing. I mean, you could, it shows that you can watch the top 500 films and it doesn't, you know, make you seem any more enlightened. I was joking. Anyway, that's the end of that section, and it was fascinating to learn more about you. Now it's time for this.
Film tweets, trivia questions, facts, other things, interesting. Yes.
Well, Josh, this is the fairly new edition. This is the quiz section.
3.0. Is this this is the Fat Club Van
Damme? I ask 5 questions of a similar sort of ilk.
Okay.
Currently, the scores have been... Lizzie got 0.5.
Okay.
Simon got 1.5.
Wow.
They're quite difficult
out
questions.
Of 5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I've written down on a piece of paper. This is really...
Younger listeners won't know what that sound is, but it's a piece of paper.
It's a piece of paper. Well, the first one is I give you the Spanish name of the film.
Okay.
And you have to guess what the film is.
Okay.
And we'll, for example, we've had Vaselina.
Okay.
Which was Grease.
Okay.
And then
is that a direct translation?
A direct translation.
Okay. From, is this Google Translate?
No, this is what they were called
when they were released in Spain. So it's really called Vaselina.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Great. Here is your one.
Okay.
Secreto o la Montana?
Oh, Scarface? No.
Say it again. Secreto, secret, like secret.
Secret
o la Montana.
Secrets of Montana.
So, Secrets
of the Mountain or something. Yeah. Okay, but what movie would be Secrets of the Mountain? That, like, that Brad Pitt movie, The Fall, or whatever, you know, with the...
Secrets of the Mountain. Yeah.
Secrets of the Mountain. Okay. Secrets.
Everyone at home is joining in.
Secrets of the Mountain. And there's, I'm thinking about, okay, Cold Mountain.
Good.
Is that
your final answer?
No. I'm trying to think. Oh, okay. Secrets of the Mountain. Like, oh, I know exactly what it is. Alive.
These are very good guesses. You could go for the whole, you'll kick yourself, because I think Alive is a brilliant one. Oh. That's actually too clever. It's Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, man. Of course it is. Yeah, but Alive would work.
Alive is much better.
Yeah, Secrets of the Mountain. Yeah, that's great.
But Alive is quite catchy.
Can I get half a point for that?
No, but I think you will have impressed a hell of a lot of people.
Okay, well, thank you. Okay.
The next one is, who was originally cast in the film?
Okay.
So we had, the famous one is, we've had Back to the Future, which was Eric Stoltz.
That would be my...
Yeah, this one's quite. And the other one was Harvey Keitel, who was in Apocalypse Now and replaced. Yeah. You might get this one. Who was originally cast to play Indiana Jones?
Ooh. Oh, I do know. What's the name with the moustache? Yeah. He was in Friends playing Rachel. But he's not really a film star. Well, he's... just give me his first name.
Yeah, I'll give you.
Yeah.
Magnum.
Magnum P.I., but give me...
Tom
Selleck.
You had it.
I knew it was. I knew it was.
So, yes, it was originally... He turned it down because of Magnum. He couldn't do both.
Yeah, well, they're remaking Magnum, talking about.
Are they?
Yeah.
He was really good at Magnum.
I know, they can't...
Magnum was so 80s.
Yeah, so you can't do that again.
Terrible. And they're all... part of the thing was, in Magnum, they're all Vietnam War vets who have been mental...
Well, I guess now they're going to be... The class, you know, golf veterans.
Not well. Yeah, what be quite. It's not so much.
Yeah, they're traumatized still, I think. Anyway,
right. So you've got one point.
One out of two. Okay. That's good.
Okay. Now here's.
I still think Alive is better.
Who is the oldest out of these two?
Okay.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor.
Ooh, I know this answer, but I think it's. It's Ewan McGregor, I think. He's got to be 46 or 47 now. And I think Matthew McConaughey is only 42 or something, 43.
So Ewan McGregor's your answer?
Yeah.
So Ewan McGregor was born on 31st of March 1971. Okay. He's 46 years old.
So I got that right.
You got it. That was good.
That bit was right, yeah.
Matthew McConaughey was born on the 4th of November 1969.
Oh, he's really? 48
years old.
Oh, man.
These are tough. These
that
are tough.
Was a toughie. But yeah. I knew that... okay. But you know why? Because I'm thinking of, Matthew McConaughey in... what's the movie with his first film, which he did?
Well, he was really cool, a cigarette.
Yeah, hey man, high school girls. They say I watched that the other day as well.
Normally, David can think of these.
Yeah,
it's
my ability to retain.
It's a high school thing, and he plays a cool guy with a moustache.
Yeah, and he was like 20.
Drop something about dropping out or
High school? No, not high school days or something days or.
I'm looking
school dates, not school days. Oh, everyone's going to know
it's
this.
It's out. It's something. Days and days.
Richard Lee. Days are confused. That's it. Yes. Richard Linklater. Yeah. Anyway. So I thought in that he was playing like 21. I think he might have been 24. And I guess that makes. But he must have been. He must have been like 28 when he did that. It's about 20 years old. That movie.
Yeah. It must have been. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So that's why I got. That's why I messed up. All right. I'm surprised though.
Okay.
Was that a trick question then?
It was just a difficult one.
Yeah.
Next one. Who are going to give you the real name of the actor?
Okay.
And who are they? Jerome Silberman.
Wow. Jerome Silberman.
He's one of your lot. A comedian.
Man.
Difficult.
Oh, Jerome Silberman. All right.
This is pretty hard.
I should know, like, on the Jew grapevine, I like, so I'm thinking it would be like so it's obviously not Travolta or something like that, like some Jew who's hiding their Jewishness. Jerome Silver.
I don't know if he was.
Well, why would he?
He's in comedy. That's a clear one.
Okay, all right, all right. Tom Hanks or something? No, Tom
more
Hanks.
More of a comic actor than a comedian.
Okay.
And I'd say big sort of 70s, 80s.
Albert Brooks or something? No, that's too Jewy. 70s, 80s. Can you just
tell you?
Yeah, give me... No, just name me a film. Give me a film.
And no, then, too much then.
What? Has he only been in one film?
No, but he would be...
Well, just say the film anyway.
He would be the star of a film.
He'd be the star of a 70s comedy type movie.
Yeah, or in a double act.
Richard Pryor.
It's Gene Wilder.
It is Gene Wilder, yeah. Thank you.
You meant that, yeah. So, okay, I'll give you...
But I was being funny.
I'll give you two.
Thanks, mate.
Right, so you've already won. Okay.
Good, thank God.
That was a hard one, though. You did get good clues.
Yeah.
But you think Jerome Tilghman's not that... Gene Wilder's still quite...
It's Jewy a bit, yeah. He wasn't fully betraying his people. I haven't read his book. I suppose his autobiography is really meant to be excellent.
Very talented man.
Yeah.
Which of these was released first in the UK?
Okay.
American Wealth in London?
Mm-hmm.
Or The Thing, Kurt Russell version?
Ooh. Oh, now that's the... is released in the UK...
Yeah, but it's the same. Which was released first?
I thought The Thing was 81, and I'm thinking, I feel like American Werewolf is like 79 or 80, but I would have thought they would release American Werewolf in London earlier. It feels like you're again doing like some sort of trick question.
No, it's not trick. The UK, don't ignore the UK release.
Oh, man, that's going to be close.
It's about a year apart. Yeah.
And is it like 80, 81-ish? Or is it more like 79?
It's 80. I'll give you, it's 81, 82.
81, 82. Oh my gosh, that's hard. I'm going to say, it just feels a bit more, I'm going to go American Werewolf first. I don't know, I'm going against my instincts, but American Werewolf first.
You're correct, Josh.
Oh, wow.
American Werewolf in London was released on 12th November 1981. The Thing, 20th of August, or something, I can't read my writing. 82.
Okay, yeah, because American Werewolf like just has more of a 70s feel to it. Maybe because they recorded it right at the end of the 70s. You had like, if you think of like their shots of Leicester Square and Piccadilly Circus, it just feels a little bit like Whiffnell and I. That kind of, even though that was set in the 60s, but it was like shot and had that feel to it. Anyway, yeah,
okay. They're both in my top 10.
But Whiffnell and I,
no.
Or by Other Thing, and yeah. Okay, I can see that. They're not. Neither is in my top 10, but. They're both. Maybe...
I think The Thing, each time I watch it, I'm amazed at how perfect it is.
They're doing a board game of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No, that you don't. But that's. Okay, well, I'm into board games and I'm excited.
What happens in the board game then?
Well, it's going to be like a hidden.
So you
hidden role thing.
You each play a character, you don't know if you're.
The alien.
That's quite good, actually.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's exciting. I'm excited. I think it's called Outpost at 31 or something, because that's. Outpost 31 or something.
Oh, I'm excited, Josh.
Yeah, well, I'll buy it when it comes out and we'll play it.
For me?
No, for myself, and you can come play. I wouldn't buy it for you.
Oh, right.
Well, why don't you get someone to send in some money for you?
Oh, that's a good point. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, I mean, the running costs have definitely escalated since I've taken people to the cinema.
Dave used to pay for himself?
Well, I suppose we just go, one person will go to cinema each week.
Oh, I see, now you
occasionally
have to.
Okay. And I just bought that thing.
Oh, it's very expensive looking.
Yeah, it's more expensive than it looks.
Yeah.
That's a reference to the recorder. Anyway, if you enjoyed podcasting and would like to help funding costs, it's very much appreciated. Please go to filmfandango.co.uk and click on the donate button. Also, please write in on the contact button on the same website. It would be lovely to hear from you, and I'll read your letters out probably about 2 to 3 weeks late. Anyway, Josh, that is great. Thank you very much for coming on. Have you got anything you want to promote?
No.
Well, if you can follow Josh on Twitter,
don't worry about it.
Or Film Fandango.
No, you don't have to.
At Film Fandango.
You don't have to follow me.
At Marek Larwood, or on Facebook, or those things. Just do those things. All right, that's about it, isn't it, I suppose?
That's it, man. Yeah. Thanks for inviting me. Third.
It was.
Well, I can't believe you invited Lizzie and Simon.
Well, think how many times you've sworn in this episode.
Well, you didn't tell me before not to swear.
Well, it's just, you'd think a normal human being would think, I might just not swear.
No, you know that my default setting is swearing when I'm not around children. This is, I've got to get it all out. I've spent too much of my life around kids. When they're not around, I've got to swear, I've got to get it out.
Well, that's what happens. That's what fatherhood leads to, aggression. On that note, Keith, what are you joining with? Are you going to join in with anything?
Okay, tell me what to do.
You've done it before with the podcast, haven't you?
Well, it was a long time ago.
You say keep watching the films.
Okay, let's do it.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.